Any other stakeholders have any comments before we... Ms. McLaren, you're really getting yourself in trouble now.
I really am. That's okay, though. Members of the committee, once again, Patrice McCarron with the Maine Lobstermen's Association. I just wanted to follow up on Dr. Dagger's point and some of the questions that were raised in terms of the intention of the Ocean Energy Task Force and the statement about leapfrogging the existing technology and getting into offshore energy. Excuse me. It's something that I've really struggled with. We wholeheartedly support this offshore development. Obviously, it passes by the majority of where my stakeholders make their living. So that's a no-brainer. When I look at the language here, because the bill is so comprehensive and because it's laying out the regulatory process to establish this in state waters, which I fully understand can happen anyway and probably is a blessing in disguise, though it scares me, what's missing for me, I think, after taking in all this comment is the legislative findings, which begin on page 14 and page 15, the sections A1, 2, 3, and 4. It doesn't clearly state that this is the state's goal, which is to sort of pass over this existing technology state waters and really focus where the wind resources are greatest. Those are strictly legislative findings, but to me it really sets the tone for the values and the goals of the state, and I'd like to look at potentially strengthening that and clarifying what the true intention of this is, if that is indeed. That's my hearing. That would go a long way in terms of understanding the regulatory language being established for state waters, but what the state is really pursuing long term. So I just wanted to add that comment.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Representatives.
Thank you. Related to that kind of thought, one thing to remember is that this isn't just about wind, and that there are the other technologies that may be more coastal oriented, could be in our rivers, could be in our estuaries, could be in those very same areas that you're concerned about, and that also is part of that long-term view, but also near-term. So they have to kind of blend together and not lose, because all of a sudden we want to say that the big target is deeper in the ocean. There is a comprehensive package, and it's contained in here. And though I know it, taking language from a task force that was broad and trying to narrow it down to a few findings without having a book, and as you know, I mean, we still wound up with a book, but that I think is also part of it. So as you consider those and come up with suggestions, keep that in mind also.
Yeah, and I do appreciate the need for the regulatory language for the state. A lot of it is the scale of the existing technology for commercial wind and just how massive of an impact that would have to have something up and viable so near to shore. I honestly have to claim ignorance on some of the scales of the other projects, but we're climbing the learning curve fast, so we'll try to stick with this and give the best guidance that we can from our perspective.
Thank you very much for your comments. Anyone else? Any other stakeholders? Anyone else who'd like to provide input before we close this work session? Mr. Ferlin.
I'm sorry.
Not a problem.
I want to go
the last one.
I want to go home. I've been thinking, and I just thought I need to say it. I'm actually picking up on some of the comments you've made, Representative Van Wien. It relates to the general permit. And, I'm sort of tiptoeing through the tulips here because I don't want to get what's going on with title mixed up needlessly with issues in wind, because we don't have them. And I just wanted to note a couple of things. We're the only ocean energy developer in the state right now. We've been an active member of the Eastport business community, in the Maine business community since 06. Project's been fully vetted locally. And the beauty of the general permit for title is that it matches up with a significant change in how the federal government is regulating title. The pilot project process through the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission is a great example of regulatory innovation to help bring these marine hydrokinetic technologies forward. And the general permit for tidal, which you passed in the last session, aligns with the federal pilot project. So we're in good shape with regulatory alignment. And the tidal projects are of a scale where you need to start at the community level. And we've been trying to avoid some of the wind backlash. And I just say that from the standpoint that our technology is near at the market. The local work has been done and is continuing in terms of having the community support what we're doing. And I just didn't want the good aspects of tidal that are in the proposed legislation you have to get lost in whatever things you might be wanting to change regarding offshore wind. I wanted to keep those separate. I just needed to mention that. And Mr. O'Neill's comment about holy water, we christened our demonstration project Seawater, so we think we passed the seawater test up in East Court. Thanks.
You get a permit for that?
You got. You have no idea.
Very nice segue, Mr. O'Neill. Are you going to be the last one this evening?
Never one of them. Can't be the last word, Senator. Just to be clear, we've communicated a lot with you, Chris O'Neill, Friends of Maine's Mountains, about onshore and offshore wind, and you probably noticed a bit of a sea change in the way we, that was funny, in the way we approached this one. The Friends of Maine's Mountains is not against wind per se. We do regularly point out its limitations, especially onshore, where capacity factor is in the probably mid to low 20s. If indeed a 40% capacity factor can be reached out here, we hope that Dr. Darga can do it. And we sincerely meant it in the public hearing when we said we hope he can do it more quickly. The thing we suggest that you continue to consider is this process wherein you build the capacity on the hope that we will either use or export the product. And when you do that, we think it's crucial that you do what any deliberative body would do in the face of development, that is to weigh impacts and benefits. You've heard a lot about both, but it really behooves you to quantify them when they have the potential to be this big. We would just suggest that when this all started in July of 08, the country was in a panic. The world was in a panic, and it was over oil. Things have changed, and they've changed. They started to change even as the task force did its wonderful work. I would suggest that it would be a worthwhile exercise to say, let's presuppose we're going to switch to a plugged-in society, that world works its magic, that the generation side world works its magic. Just for kicks, to achieve a benefit versus impact analysis that's informative, substitute some other generating sources, like the one that became a game changer while this was going on, and that's the availability of and ability to extract natural gas for the long term. Thank you.
That's okay, Suzanne. Come on up. Just briefly, I hope, because I think we're tapped out for the day.
Suzanne Sayer, Kittery, PhD, Geophysics. I've done oil and gas exploration. I understand shale gas. It's a big mess to the people who have the shale gas in their backyard. It's a huge user of water. And if you think we're having problems with energy, wait a while. We're going to have problems with water. Thank you very much.
That's good information. Thank you very much. We're going to declare this work session adjourned. And we'll take it up at another work session on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday at 1 o'clock.
We got to meet on Monday.
Yes, but we're meeting on Monday, but not on this bill.
Yeah, okay.
We're meeting
but on tell people that.
We are meeting, just for the record, we're doing the PSAP, PSAP on Monday.
At time to be announced, or?
What time on Monday? 1:30? 1 o'clock? Yes, 1 o'clock.
Make sure you get that out electronically.